Canaan off or something. Alright, so let's take a look at the Gemara and Gimel and Beis. Two dots towards the top. We had Amar Abaye, Pshita liyado shalom eino lo kishus harabim v'lo kishus hayachid. Kishus harabim lo dam yam yada da'ani, kishus hayachid lo dam yam yada da'al abayis. Okay, that's the background. So he brought a proof from our Mishnah that a yad shaladim can't be like kishus hayachid, it can't be kishus harabim. Fine. We saw three different ways of understanding that proof or that assertion of Abaye. We had Rashi's position that Abaye is coming to teach us that the yad is not Q. According to Rashi, you learn from the Mishnah that
the yad is not where you're standing.
Right. The yad is not nigra achar guf legamri.
Right.
Okay. According to Rabbeinu Chanan el Jeremy, what do you learn from that? What do you learn from the Mishnah according to Abaye?
We learn the cases of hayav, the cases where you're high of the Mishnah.
According to Rabbeinu Chanan.
Right.
What do you learn about yad from the Mishnah?
That it's like a
karmelin. Yeah, well, the Gemara says that once it's not like Rosh Hashanah and not like Rosh Hashanah, then it's karmelis.
Right.
But what does Rabbeinu Chanan say? What does Rabbeinu Chanan, how does he understand Abaye's proof from the Mishnah? It's teaching you what about Yad? According to Rashi, it's teaching you the Yad is not like the Rosh Hashanah of the Guf, the Gamri.
So you're saying it's not like either Rosh Hashanah or either Rosh Hashanah, no matter what the situation.
Okay, exactly. According to Rabbeinu Chanan, the Yad is not objectively defined as Rosh Hashanah, and it's not objectively defined as Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, the Havamin is that I would have thought a Yad Shel Adam, even in Rosh Hashanah, might be a Rosh Hashanah. And the Havamin is that I would have thought that a Yad Shel Adam might be a Rosh Hashanah, even inside a Rosh Hashanah. Very peculiar Havamina. Right? Or, if you take the base Vul's reading of Rabbeinu Chanan, then he thought it was the Chiddush that you can't have an Akira and Hanachah Basachas. Okay? Side point. The third way of reading the Gemara was the Girsa Rabbeinu Chanan as interpreted by the Baal Amor and the Ramban and Tosfos Rid, seems to be the majority view in the Rishonim, which was Rachel.
Sorry, was that what?
Four. What's the third way of reading the Gemara? The way the Baal Amor and the Ramban and Tosfos Rid read it?
The
Havamin is that your Yad would have
taken on their shoot of whatever it's in.
Exactly. The Havamin is that the Yad would have taken on the status of Shusen, and now Kamash Malan, that
it
doesn't.
It doesn't.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the now, the important thing is, I was talking to Jeremy afterwards, the important thing to remember is that according to the Baal Amor and the Ramban and Tosfos Rid think that Rashi's Havamina is ludicrous. I think there's no way that the Gemara could have even thought, you don't need to prove from the Mishnah that the Yad is not Nigar Achar Gufo, because that would lead you to the absurd conclusion that you could have a Rosh Hasharavim inside Rosh Hasayachid. Right. Rashi seemingly would hold that the Baal Amor and Tosfos Rid's read of the Gemara is absurd, because there's no reason to assume that a Yad would ever be batel to the Shus that it's in. Okay, so they're actually looking at this question of Yad from opposite perspectives. Now, once you realize that Yad is not like either extreme, so then the Gemara comes along and the Gemara says that Yad Shel Adam is Kikarmelis. Now, we ended off by posing the question, what does the Gemara mean that Yad is Kikarmelis? Does the Gemara mean it literally? Does the Gemara mean a lav dafka? So we saw Tosfos Dibur Maskil Ma'oshet Tasek Kikarmelis. What did Tosfos say? Pinchas, what does Tosfos say in Ma'oshet Tasek Kikarmelis? How could you forget? You weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tosfos. Hey. We're holding you accountable for even the times you miss. Alright? So Tosfos Dibur Maskil Ma'oshet Tasek Kikarmelis. Tosfos points out, Kegon Shehotzi Yado Milei Alachutz Bila Hadura. We have a clear Mishnah in the end of Erevin that you could put your hand into another Rishus. You could, let's say, put your hand out the window, play around with something in the Rishus Rabim. The Gemara never entertained that a Yad that crosses between two Rishus will always be defined as a Karmelis. That can't be. The only Havamina, or the only tzad to say that a Yad is Kikarmelis, is when you started with something in your Rishus, you then extended your hand into another Rishus with the Chefetz, then the Yad morphs into a Karmelis. But the extension of an empty Yad is not going to transform it into a Karmelis. A very interesting point. So I think conceptually what that translates into is that the Yad only takes on the characteristics of both Rishuyos when the Malacha was done in both Rishuyos. If the Malacha only becomes relevant in the new Rishus, And there never was an opportunity for the yad to take on characteristics of both. Because right? The yad is only in the Rishus HaRabim now. But if the Maisa, if the Akira was in Rishus HaYachid, and now you're hanging in Rishus HaRabim, then the yad has dinim of both. Just point out that if you turn to the Hagos Mordechai, on the back of the Gemara, in the back of the Gemara, you usually have Mordechai is a very confusing work. Who is the Mordechai, by the way? Who is the Mordechai? I think it's Mordechai ben Hillel. Okay, you know the Mordechai?
Oh, okay.
It's very important to know who everyone is. You'll see, well, it'll help us in a minute. So the Mordechai is the Talmud of the Rush. Talmud of the Rush, Talmud of Maharami Rittenberg. So he's one of these on the very tail end of the German Balei Tosfos. And Mordechai was killed in one of the Crusades of like 1296, and like he never really finished his perush in the back of the Gemara. So the Mordechai is a mess. You'll see that there like it starts, it stops. There are actually two Mordechais. There's the Mordechai, the regular Mordechai, and then at the very end of the Mordechai, you'll notice there's a Hagos Mordechai. So I'm here in the Hagos Mordechai, meaning after the regular Mordechai, you'll have yeah, I don't know. See here it says Hagos Mordechai. Slick Hagos Mordechai. Yeah. So go to the beginning of Hagos Mordechai. Mm-hmm. So in Simin, do you have it broken down by Daphne? It's Simin Tuf Nun. Smack in the middle of Simin Tuf Nun, and Hagos Mordechai. It says Daf Gimel Mebes in my Gemara. Baye Abaye. Everybody have it? Anybody have it?
Is
he Tuf Nun? Is he Tuf Nun? Good. Yeah. So in the middle of Tuf Nun, you should have Baye Abaye. Like a two dots and Baye Abaye.
Yeah.
In Hagos Mordechai. It's page Ayin Ches in the old Gemaras.
Yeah.
Page Ayin Ches, first column in the old Gemaras. Jeremy, you have it? Page Ayin Ches.
I don't have the standard.
Oh, you don't know, have no Zohadra one?
Yeah.
So you see the regular Mordechai? After the regular Mordechai, you should have Hagos Mordechai.
After the regular Mordechai, I just have like.
Okay, so that's probably the end of Hagos Mordechai.
Okay.
So if you just go back like three pages, probably you'll get to the beginning of Hagos Mordechai. Okay, so I'll start reading. Just listen carefully. So Baya Bay, so Yadosh Yado Maos Shetasa Karmelis Pirishri Depshita Deshari LaAdam LaHachnis Yado Reikanis Mishus Ayachid Rishus Arabim Oeipcha Ulatal Tel Sham Delo Baya Bay Yado Maos Shetasa Kikarmelis Ela Imken Hotzi Yado Muleya Aval Reikanis Lo. This is the same thing word for word for like Tosfos. Right? The only question is when you did an Akira and extended it out. Okay, Adkan is identical to Tosfos. Even though in the Gemara and Erevin, our Meir actually disputes that ruling of the Mishnah, nonetheless, we'll still pass on Gatanakama. The Kamar Hasa, Masni, Lerachanania bar Shalme, Lechia bar Rav, Mekame de Rav. Lo yamar adam b'shus ha'yachid v'yitalta b'shus ha'rabim. Amar le'e shav. So he learns against the Mishnah. Right? He learned against Rabbi Meir. That even in the case of Tosu says it's okay, there's a day in the Gemara that says it's asur. Amar le'e shav kis rabbanon v'av describe Meir. You get a paskin like Rabbi Meir. Mashma de'uchsak rabbanon. Sorry, he paskin like Rabbi Meir against the rabbanon. The Gemara says you shouldn't do that. You should paskin like the rabbanon. So, therefore, the Mordechai proves that we paskin like that day in the Mishnah. Like Tosu says. But what I'm just trying to point out from the Mordechai is that this notion of Yado Shel Adam Ke Karmelis, that the Yad is going to be a Karmelis even when the Maisa only started in the other Rishus, is not as simple as Tosu makes it out to be. Tosu says you can prove it from the Mishnah in Erevin, and Mordechai points out that it's really Machlokas in the Gemara in Erevin whether that din is true. Okay? So you might say then that the Yad could take on the characteristics of both Rishuyos even when the Maisa Vera wasn't relevant to the first Rishos. Or what else might you say, actually, to explain that day in the Gemara? Pinchas, what would you say? Going back to Gimel Amud Aleph, how might you explain? Going back maybe to the Arbosav Shel Rashi, how would you explain that day in the Gemara? Shittas Rav Meir. I said maybe you'll say that the Yad takes on characteristics of both Rishuyos, even though the Maisa Avera only started in the latter Rishos. Up with you guys? No one sleeps here?
I sleep.
Jeremy, what do you think? How do you explain that day in the Gemara?
Wait, this day says that if you're metaltal within the same Rishos, you're a chayav?
It's Aser, yeah. Tosu said it's Mutter from the Mishnah. But the Mordechai is pointing out that this day in the Gemara that really is Cholik. How do you explain that? Alright, what do you think?
If you're what?
It's also for me to stick my hand out the window and move something around in Rosh Hashanah, according to the day
so
of the Mordechai.
There's not hanacha
there? There's no hanacha because the Akira Sachefes is only in the Rosh Hashanah and hanacha is only in Rosh Hashanah.
Well, if you gave it, you're giving us the hand of Rav Hussein Noah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Yado is but.
The Iker part of Hotza is the Akira because it's the last Samasa.
Okay, but here the Akira is not.
Yeah, the Batar Gufo.
Yeah, that.
Means you want to say that no matter what, Yados Gui Basra Gufo Garger? I mean, Tosa said that it's only a karmelus when you did an Akira in one Rishos and now you're hanging in another Rishos.
Why wouldn't you?
So we explained that by saying the Maisa Avera only. That you need the Maisa Avera to cross between two Rishos.
Right.
The Mordechai quotes there that argues. So I think you might say, to explain that day in the Mordechai, that he holds that the Maisa Avera actually starts from the moment you're poshed yadcha, even a yad rekanis. Remember, we saw this long discussion on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, where Bosef Shel Rashi, who held that what are Peturei Dasu Dechiyev Chatas? It's Machlokes. Was it Akira? Was it Hanacha? Or was it the even Pshitas Yad Rekanis from one Rishos to another Rishos? And if you remember, on Gimel Amud Aleph, the Ramban challenged that by saying, that's absurd. You can't say that Pshitas Yad Rekanis is an Isser. Because you're Machayev him for doing something that Shema Yavli De Maisa, even though it itself is not a Maisa. But maybe this day in the Mordechai here would agree to something like the Rabos of Shel Rashi and hold that. Even a Pshita Siad Reikonis, even extending an empty hand into another Rishus, that's already considered Tchilas Avera. In which case, the action does span two different Rishus. Whereas Tosos himself here is holding that the Maisa Avera only starts the moment you pick up the object in the other Rishus. But an empty hand crossing through Rishus is not even part of the Maisa Avera. Okay, so that might be just an important Machlokes in general.
Because if you walked out from one Risha to another Risha, the mice wouldn't start until you picked up the object in Risha the Rabbah. In other words, if you
walked out carrying nothing?
Yeah.
Right.
So
but then,
how
but then,
you can explain that the your masa of Hotza starts when you're poshe yad from Risha the Yachat to Risha the Rabbah. If you did the ultimate thing, which is walked out to Risha the Rabbah, it's not going to be.
Well, that's because the yad of asagufo garir. So you could assume that when the yad goes out, it's going to come back. So therefore, you could speak of that as a tchilas ma'is avera. But the guf, when the guf crosses through a rishus without carrying anything, so you can't have any presumption that it's going to come back. So you can't pin it as ma'is avera. That's what I would say. Next also. So the Gemara starts. So the Gemara comes along, and the Gemara says, so maybe it's kikarmelis. So mikan sua rabbanan la'adure ligabe. Hello. So is there a knas and bring your hand back? Tashma, ha'isa yada melea peros, v'hotzia l'chutz, tani chada aser l'achzira, v'tani idach mutter l'achzira. So you have a whether or not it's mutter to bring your hand back. Tani ma'ila, b'hakam l'fugi. What's the argument? Ma'ar stavar ki karmelis damya. One holds the yad is like a karmelis, and therefore it's aser to bring it back. Ma'ar stavar lav ki karmelis damya. Right, that's the first suggestion of the Gemara. What does Tosos interject? Mikan sura banan l'gabe. Rachel, you want me Tosos? Mikan sura rabbanon.
Mikan sura rabbanon. During your edlery, the garas mi asura, below garas mikan sura.
Who cares about the girsa?
The kama mesamach, ki mukma de lach, the karma le damia, arminan da sura lach zira, mishim knas. Mishem had the abdua karma le nami had the knasa.
So what's Tosis Mesupak about right here? What's Tosis Safek? Should you have the girsa of Asura or Kansua? What does the girsa turn on?
Is what we mentioned before, the Karmelit Damya is that because it's actually Asura that it's a Karmelit, or there's just a Knas on it and that's outside the Karmelit?
Right. Do you assume that the Yad is now defined as a Karmelis? Possibly Me'ikra Din. Right? The Yad is a Karmelis. The yad, for some reason, takes on the characteristics of a karmelist, therefore, memelitz could be also to take it back. Or do we assume that the status of the yad as a karmelist is only artificially rabbinically created? At the Rabbanan impose as a knas, that itself is a knas, the fact that the yad is a karmelist. Tosos is actually masupik about that. Do you say miyasruha, it is a karmelist, memelitz also, or do you say kantua, the Rabbanan knas the hand as having a status of a karmelist? The Ritva over here just has an interesting line. He has the girsa of mi kansua Rabbanan. He says, of course, the yad has to be only a karmelist b'toras knas. She'ein karmelist el b'davar kavua, diregili bei rabim, ve'eino b'kelim v'lo b'kayotzi b'zeh shu omed lito. Of course, the yad can't be a karmelist, because a karmelist, by definition, is a place where people hang out. Karmelist doesn't mean anything that's in between a rishus ha'yachid and a rishus ha'rabim. A karmelist is a kind of a rishus where people hang out. It's just not strong enough to be a rishus ha'rabim, but a kli or a yad can't be a karmelist. So, of course, it has to be a knas. But Tosos actually changes the gears of the Gemara initially to say that it's miyasruha. Meikra adin, yad is going to be a kamos. Okay. The suffix of the Gemara asked, Haisa yada malea peros vehotziya luchutz. That's the case we're trying to understand. So, the pashtus, what's the construction of the case? Okay, which rishus are you in? You put your hand into Rishus HaRabim. Okay, now is that case dafka in the Gemara? Or could that case in the Gemara, would that case be equally true if you're standing in Rishus HaRabim and you're poshut yadcha into Rishus HaYachid?
Intuitively I would say it doesn't matter, but hold on.
Rabban said it couldn't be the other case.
What?
I thought, according to the Ramban, where you can't construct a Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid.
Okay, but here we're asking about Yad. So no one thinks the yad is a rishus is a rishus rabim anymore.
Okay.
So what would you say?
Are the rules of a karmelite?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So the Rashba objects that since we say you can't have a karmelist, similar to your point, Jeremy. Since you can't have a karmelist inside a rishus ayachid, we'll see when we see rishus that a rishus ayachid doesn't allow any other rishus inside it. A Rishus HaRabim allows for a Makom Ptur, it allows for a Karmelis inside it. Rishus HaYachid, by definition, is only a Rishus HaYachid. Can't have anything else inside it. So therefore, argues the Rashba, the case in the Gemara has to be Dafka. Because otherwise, your Yad, which is a Karmelis, is occupying a Rishus HaYachid, which is impossible. So if you assume, like the Rashba right now, that a Yad is really a Karmelis, so then the case in the Gemara has to be Dafka. If you assume like the Ritva, that all we're dealing with here is a knas, that we're treating the yad as a karmelis, then of course you could read the case in the Gemara as going both ways. Because we don't mean that there actually is a karmelis in Rishus HaYachid. All we mean is that the chachamim knas you from putting your hand through Rishuyos. In which case, they would knas you also in Rishus HaYachid. Okay. One final point on this karmelis question, next line in the Gemara. So first the Gemara thought it's a machlokas about whether or not the yad is a karmelis, and the Gemara said no. Iba yisema. So low, sorry. To kuli alma ki karmelis. Okay, so which case is going to be mutter to pull your hand back? Case of lamala or case of lamala?
Lamala.
Why? Because lamala is.
It's not. I don't know if kutza is the right word, but it's not. It's not rishus
harabim. It's not rishus harabim anymore. It's no longer. It's lamala meyasar. Lamala meyasar is a makom patur. So then you could pull your hand back. Okay. Now, it's not clear what the case of that Gemara is. What's the ambiguity in the case?
If you had to start above.
Yeah. Did you start your poshet yadcha lamala me'asara, or your poshet yadcha lamata me'asara, and now you're pulling your hand lamala me'asara, and then you're pulling it back into Rishus? If you say it's the latter case, what problem does that pose? Question that both the Rashba and the Ritva ask.
Going from a place that's asur to makam.
Yeah. How could you go from a Rishus? The Gemara later on says that you can't use a Makom Ptur as a chiluf. You can't use a Makom Ptur as no man's land for crossing in between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. Mikra Din, you could, right? Because you went from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid, into a Makom Ptur, and now you're going from Makom Ptur into Rishus HaYachid. But the Gemara says that's an Isser Midraban Avad Shlo Yachlif. So isn't this a case of Yachlif? But if you take the latter read of the Gemara, right? You're putting your hand Lamata Me'asara, so that's a Karmelis right now. You're pulling your hand Lamala Me'asara, that's a Makom Ptur. And now you're pulling it into Rishus HaYachid.
I mean, if you think that Yad is Kikarmelis, then Makom Ptur and Karmelis might not be as bad.
Oh, so that's what the ritva actually suggests over here, right? Tafila man damar be'irvin pehem beis the aser lahachlif birshuyos drabanan the hamodek even the lav karmelis hu min adin. Since a yad is not me'ikar adin defined as a karmelis, so you're not really being machlif between rishuyos, because the yad is a weaker makom p'tur than me'ikar adin. It's a weaker makom p'tur than anything else. So even though in general you can't be machlif when it comes to yad, you could be machlif. So those are four considerations, and when we say that yad is karmelis, do we mean a dafka or not? Okay, so you have Tosos, who quotes the Gemara in Ervin, that's disputed by the Mordechai. Just the Mordechai shows it's a little more complex. Tosos here in the Ritz about Kansinan versus Asrinan. The Rashba about Uvajshal, Rashba in the Ritz about Uvajshal Yachlif, that yad is shiny. And then the Rashba's point that Ein Karmelis Berishos Ayachid. And whether you take that case in the Gemara as being dafka. Let's go on to the Gemara. Vibay Seima.
Vibay Deima, Idi Matza Masara, Vilav Kamu Itamia. Vil Kasha, Kamu Ibrodiom, Kamu Shechashicha.
Okay, so one's the case before Shabbos, and one's the case where on Shabbos. When did you put your hand down? Ibrodiom.
Ibrodiom, Vil Kansarabana, Mishechashicha, Kansarabana.
So they're going to knas you if you put your hand out on Shabbos. If you put your hand out before Shabbos, and they're not going to knas you. What's the rationale over there?
You haven't done
anything before Shabbos. Excellent. On Shabbos, there's reason to knas you because you did at least the tchilas ma'isa avera. Right? Assuming, again, that an akira and... I mean, we're viewing this as a tchilas ma'isa avera, even though it's only half a malacha. If you remember when we saw... What did we see in Daf Gimel Beis over here earlier in the year? Sensational shita. Arguably one of the best shitas we saw here. The Meiri. Here's the Meiri who said that even if you hold Yesh Yediyah L'Chatz Yishir in general, when it comes to Hotzah, anything before the Hanukkah is not even Chatz Yishir. We'll see in a second. I'll explain that in a second. So here you'll say that there's Ma'isa Veira on Shabbos, but before Shabbos there's no reason to Knas. And the Gemara challenges that. Adraba.
Adraba, Ilcha Mistavra. Yibodiyom, Dishad Yirei, Lo Ayati Yirei Chiv Chatat, Dikan Tzur Rabanan.
So what's this objection? That here you should engage it based off the avera the person did, but rather based on
the punishment to be,
the potential consequences.
Right.
So here a knas drabanan, forcing him to leave his hand out there, would translate into a chiv skila. Right? Why? Because he's leaving his hand out there. His hand's going to get tired. He might forget, and he'll drop the object. So knas drabanan is going to cause an iser skila. So maybe dafka then, you shouldn't knas him. Right? That's the Gemara's suggestion.
Why would you knas him if it was just before... Is it the case that it's just before Shabbos, and then he's just going to pull it back anyways before Shabbos?
Well, the case is not. He put his hand out before Shabbos, then he left his hand there.
Until Shabbos.
Until Shabbos. Okay. So now it's a question. On Shabbos, he'll have to pull his hand back.
Okay.
So very nice. So let me make a point here in the Gemara. So how are we going to paskin on this question about what's worse, mibod yom or on Shabbos? So turn to the Rush for a second. Is the Rush in Simon Gimel. Just read the last three lines of the Rush in Simon Gimel. We'll go back in a minute. Umeila Shaminan Tidafka Mibod Yom Kansinam Le Al Shalohich Zira Kodim Chashefa. Last couple lines of Simon Gimel. So the Rush learns in Maskana that the only time we're going to knas in is Mibod Yom. And what's the knas? Because he didn't take his hand back before Shabbos. I mean, there's a kind of negligence over here. He put his hand out before Shabbos. He had ample time to pull it back before. Since he didn't, we're going to knas him. So the knas is kind of for his laziness before Shabbos. So look at the Rambam. Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Chaf of Hilchos Shabbos. Where the Rambam treats this case. The Rambam says... If he put his hand out b'mezid, it's also to pull it back. they imposed a knash, that he has to keep his hand out there until it gets dark. So what does Ram seem to be saying?
Only on Shabbos.
Yeah, it seems like Ram is saying that the knas here is only imposed on Shabbos. Okay? So you have machlokas here between the Rambam and the Rush. Whether l'maskana, when does the knas apply? The Rush says dafka before Shabbos. It's a knas for not taking your hand back. The Rambam says the knas applies dafka when you do a ma'is avera on Shabbos and are poshet yadcha into another rishos. Whereas the Rambam would say that before Shabbos you haven't done anything. Your hand, Shabbos was chal with your hand in another rishos. What's the problem? Okay. So then the Gemara says, if that's really true, what's going to happen? Q. Fight during the Gemara. Okay, so what's this case?
It's complicated.
What happened?
You put bread in the oven, and it's gonna bake on Shabbat.
Yeah.
And so.
When did you put the bread in the oven? Pashtus. On Shabbos or before Shabbos?
Before.
Why do you say before?
Because, actually.
Do you think it's sensible to say? Could it be before? Is there a way in reading the Gemara that it could be before?
No, not at this point. I mean, at this point, when you're making the decision, it's got to be on Shabbat.
No, but they put it in before. I can't even put it in before.
Are you going to be chayiv for a bishul if you put something in the oven before Shabbos?
That bishul works.
It depends on bishul.
I don't know if I have a bishul answer.
Well, the nisr called shihiyah, right? What's the nisr of shihiyah? Shihiyah is leaving something on the oven before Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right? Shihiyah nisr darais or nisr drabanan?
Yeah.
Seems to be nisr drabanan. So wouldn't it seem that this is only true if you, you put it in on Shabbos?
It could be according to Beit Shammai, who thinks that you can't.
Shvisas Kalim?
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard. You want to say this Gemara is only leave it to Beit Shammai?
I'm just saying, you're not forced, but it sounds like it's talking about on Shabbos.
Yeah. Let's assume, I think it's pretty clear, this is talking about on Shabbos. So you put the bread in the oven on Shabbos. Now, have you done a Ma'is Avera Bishul yet? L'chor or not? We'll see. It's very tricky. Gemara in Daftal Adam Rav. Very, very tricky question. So you put the bread in the oven. You've done the beginning of an Isser Bishul, but you're only going to become Chayiv, whatever the mechanics is, later.
Right.
Once it's Karma Paneha, or when it's sufficiently baked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Shaila is, now could you take it out of the oven or not? What's the suffix?
Can you be over the Rabbanan to prevent the...
Seemingly, can you violate an Isser Rabbanan to prevent yourself from violating an Isser Sekila? Now, on the surface, that seems to be an obvious question, no? All right, what would you say in that case? Can you violate an Isser Rabbanan to save yourself from Chiyuv Sekila Midaraisa?
Yes.
What? You would assume yes?
Yeah.
And you think it's a Chiddush to say yes?
Probably not,
right?
Yeah.
If it's a choice between Isser Rabbanan and Chiyuv Sekila, you would choose the Isser Rabbanan, would you not?
Right.
So, is there any Chiddush? I mean, so why does the Gemara have a suffix about this? Why is the Gemara Masupa?
Yeah.
So you want to argue that a chi of skila b'sheva al taisa might be more kal than a shvus drabon al bekum vase. That's what you want to say.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say also?
Yeah. I was just going to distinguish between different drabons. If the drabon is like a xera that you might do a daraisa, then obviously you should violate the drabon because it was there to protect against the daraisa in the first place. But if it's any other type of darabanan, there'd be more room.
Right.
For reasons like these.
Right, so you think that the suffix of the Gemara here, you think is... I mean, you think that it could be that, let's say, a malacha darabanan, a shvus, or something like that, might be more chamer b'kum vase than a chiv skilab sheva taisa.
It's not more chamer, it's just that you can't...
Can't do it.
We don't have the resource to let you violate a darabanan.
Okay. Very interesting.
You got to look at it piecemeal as opposed
right.
to the holistic. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's a very surprising conclusion to reach, right? It's kind of like a Yehari Gval Yavor. Just like if you have Yehari Gval Yavor on the Big Three Averos, you have Yehari Gval Yavor also if you put bread in the oven at the beginning of Shabbos. Right? That's what would come out.
It's not Yehari Gval Yavor.
You're getting a Chiyuv Sekila, no?
No, but chorus of chiyuv skill, but not with edim. That's going on.
You don't think they're Adam yet?
If you can, you can always tie a rode. Pikuach nefesh patur shabbat anyway.
Uh-huh.
So it must be that there's no Adam.
Okay, so if there's no Adam, what's the din?
Chavis.
Then you get karis?
Karis.
Karis. Not so good either, right?
It could be chatas. It could be bishoge. You don't know.
Here it's case amazing.
Yeah. That's the only karis.
Okay, so we'll have to figure this out. We'll see. The Gemara and Daf Dalet is a very, the Tosas and Daf Dalet is a very fascinating discussion. That it's inconceivable that you would have been chayiv in this case. Just look at this for a second. Just
I've
to
never done with music.
What? But hidbik pasan and tiro does come shavu lefiv chata.
If you have the gears of chayiv skila, that makes sense.
Okay, so here we're assuming bishogi right now.
Yeah, that was the difference between the gears.
It's just
skila.
Yeah.
Okay, so different gear styles here.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see. We'll see this question of skila in a second, though. Fine, so let's go on. You see, the Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud poses the question as skila.
What
is it?
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the list that
ends.
Yeah.
I hit back to honor. Skila. That's the.
We were new again.
Right. So we'll see, but the Gemara is mesupik about that, really. Because the Gemara is going to analyze this question and say it can't really be a case of shogig. So you'll see, just look at the question posed by Tosos Zibra Maschil, Kodem Shiyavo, Lide Yisr Skila. Everybody see that, Tosos?
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy, just read that first question. Grim Tomar.
Where is it?
Third wide line.
And
Dal. Dal and Malaf.
V'im Tomar, my bayahi, and Zo.
Yeah, who's going to listen to us if we say to
if we say cancer the term.
Yeah.
The tira triba dim lo itira lo mechayev skila. Kevan shemaniach milerdot al yidei mashan ostrin.
Very fascinating answer. What's his answer?
He wouldn't have been chayev skila.
Right.
Because he can't do the term. The fact that he's...
Right, basically it's a kind of anus. Right, it's onus midivrei chachamim. Since the chachamim are responsible for him incurring the skila over here, because they're imposing this knas that he can't take it out, so the chachamim are really behind it. So he's onus, he's coerced. He had no choice about it. So he's going to be potter. So The Gemara is asking an interesting question, but there never is a havmin in the Gemara that he actually would have been chayiv skila for not taking it out because of the drabana.
He started
b'mezid. Right, he started b'mezid. Then he remembered, oh my god. Then he started b'mezid. Then he's like, okay, I want to take it out. Come say you can't take it out. So essentially he's going to incur skila because of the Vicham. Can't happen because that's kind of anus. In fact, Tosos Yeshanim Simen Beis, we'll talk about it later, but Tosos Yeshanim there actually assumes that the suffix in the Gemara of whether or not we're going to be matir him to take it out of the oven is contingent on whether or not the Chacham have the koach to uproot the onesh. Meaning, if the Chachamim have the koach to uproot the Onesh, so then they'll say, they're allowed to say he can't save himself. Because either way, he's not going to get the punishment. Hey. If the Chachamim do have the power, if the Chachamim do not have the power to uproot the Onesh, so then he would be allowed to save himself, because there's no way in the world that he's supposed to suffer Skila. So it's Imanushach. If the Chachamim can get rid of the punishment, then they could ask for him from saving himself. If they can't, then they don't have the koach to ask for him from saving himself. Okay, so it's a very tricky question. So let's go on in the case. So, hidik pas b'tanur, hitiru lo dos kodem shevo d'chiv chatos, o lo hitirus. The Gemara says, if it's really true that they're going to impose a knas, then what should you conclude? Tifsho.
They're learning to.
Yeah. Shouldn't you be able to learn easily that there's no hatar? Now, all the Rishonim here are bothered by an important question. Question from Kufi at Zayin Mabes. Who's the first to pose this question? Who raises this question from the Steer to Kufi Dynamo base? Rabbeinu Chanana. Rabbeinu Chanana is the first to be bothered by this seeming contradiction. Now, is it really a contradiction? What do we have in Kufi Dynamo base? What does the Gemara say? Chachma Yivena Malachai. That Rajiyas HaPas is not one of the Malachos of Shabbos. If it's not one of the malachos of Shabbos, then what's why does the Gemara on Gimel Beis assume that it could prevent you from taking it out from taking it out of the oven? So what's Rabbi Nachmanel's first answer? Are you just Rabbi Nachmanel?
Yeah, I really don't remember what he
said. Yeah,
says.
I had a problem also. Like I see things, and then like when I need them, they always like drop out of my head. It's a big problem. You have to figure out the remedy. If you're going to med school, you could work on that. Okay, so first answer is Rabbi Nachmanel suggests v'kivan she'ina melacha amai lo pashti ba lehetera. Sorry, let's start from the question. V'kashilon. This is actually very infrequent. It's very infrequent that you have Rabbi Nachmanel asking a stira from one Gemara to the next. Which is an interesting point. V'kashilon mechti v'dias apas chacham ina melacha digarsin imper kol kisvi hakodesh tanit beishmuel kamalach savad lo sasu yotzit kashof v'dias apas shehi chacham ina melacha. There's a linguistic problem here.
Shehi
is singular, and yet the Gemara lists both Tkiah Shofar and Rav Yehuda Pass. So some Rishonim actually suggest there's no Havamina that Tkiah Shofar would have actually been a Malacha. The only Havamina is really about Rav Yehuda Pass. That's why Shehi Chacham Ein Malacha. V'kivan she'ein a Malacha amai lo pashti v'al hetera. So since we know it's not a Malacha, so why didn't the Gemara say, obviously, that of course you could do Rav Yehuda Pass to save yourself from the Malacha? Seems obvious. What's that answer? Yeah. Meaning the Gemara knows that of course you could save yourself with Pater Avalasar. Right? The Gemara knows that of course if you take it out of the oven you're only going to violate a Drabbanan. And of course that's what you should do. The suffix of the Gemara is whether or not in this scenario where you're confronted with Rediyas HaPas or Bishul, so is the Rediyas HaPas mutter in this context? So that's the suffix of the Gemara. So in Mela, the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin is not relevant, because the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin simply says that it could be Patra Aval Aser, Chachma Veinu Malachai. But our Gemara on Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, knew it was Patra Aval Aser. The only shaila is whether it could be Patra Aval Mutter. Okay? Clear? Good?
Wasn't the question on Kuf Yud Zayin that the fact that it's a chachma means that it's completely mutter? Or that's not the question?
Rabbi Nachmanel?
Yeah.
Well, the question seems to be. The question's posed in different ways. The way Rabbi Nachmanel poses it is not clear. It could be that he's asking, well, we know that this is mutter from Kuf Yud Zayin, and then his answer is strange,
I don't get it,
that it's aser. Or he's saying, I know that this is aser, mi drabanan, but it should be obvious to me that I should violate a drabanan to save myself from a deraisa.
So then what's the answer?
So then the answer is that in a chanami, of course you violate a drabanan to save yourself from a deraisa. The question is there even an iser drabanan in this case of daf dalet? Because maybe you'll say that taking it out of the oven to save yourself from a chiyuv skila neutralizes whatever iser there is. Everybody understand that? I mean, you would have thought contextually, Rediyas HaPas in this case would have been mutter. That's the subject of the Gemara. Is it mutter or is it still Pater Avalasar like it is on Kuf Yud Zayin? First answer, Rabbi Nochanano. Second answer, Rabbi Yeshomrim. Hadei hura is Rabbeim, Kibal Numer Abosteinu. Rabbeim of Rabbi Nochanano, very important link. And Chana is somewhat of a Talmud of Rav Haigon. So he's really a Talmud of the Gonim. Who's Rabbi Nachmanel's Talmud? Which we'll see in a second. Who's Talmud of Rabbi Nachmanel? The Rif. Now see, it's obvious. The Rif here is like dealing with the same issues that are posed by Rabbi Nachmanel. The Yesh Omrim, Ki Rediyasa Pasa Afuya Hi Chachma Ve'ina Malacha. Aval Rediyasa Ba'oda Isa Kodim She'ikarim Panea Malacha Hi. Hello, Tira, Hapasa, Afuya, Ifshaler Dosa, Visakan, Mechayotse, Val, Isa, Yefshaler Dosa, Elabiadayim, Shenimsa, Kimo, Lashva, Orech, Lemetakin, Huvena, Makalko. Lafika, Chlohis, Kir, Mokamaze, Hartatani, Beishmuel, Klal, Lelamiki, Enodomez, Lazel, Lazek, Klal. Fascinating answer. What's he suggesting? Rachel. Rachel, what's he suggesting?
That you're actually dealing with the full Malacha here, Rudia, Isa, and the Inukanami,
so it wasn't. The Gemara says.
Two different stages.
Once it's fully baked, then the Rediyah is going to be an Isser Drabanan. of whatever kind, it's not clear. Now on Daf Gimel, we're talking about Radiyas Hapas at an earlier stage, before it's Mevushal, before it's baked. So then it's going to be an Isa, it's doughy. Taking the dough out of the oven is going to be a kind of a lush, it's going to be kind of kneading, and then it's going to be Malacha D'Oraisa. So our Gemara on Daf Gimel is actually asking, is this a Malacha D'Oraisa of lush? Or the Chora, the Gemara is assuming this is a Malacha D'Oraisa of lush. And that's why Kuf Yud Zayin is not relevant. But what's the topic of the Gemara then?
Yeah, that's what we get. I mean, why would you ask it? I mean, can you just be one? Can you be deal for one malacha for another one? But
right, who asked that question explicitly? Then of course you're not docha one malacha for another malacha. Baal Mor, on his challenge to the Rif. How do you understand the Rabbi Nachmanah?
I mean, I never threw these terms Darabanan and Daraisa when I read Rabbi Nachmanah.
You didn't.
No.
So how do you understand lush?
I understood lush as a malacha Darabanan that is doma el malacha. Whereas Radiyat HaPad, which is at a later stage, is called a Chachma, and it's not even categorically similar to a Malacha.
Okay, that could be a very possible answer for Rabbi Nachmanah. The question is, do you assume Kimo Lash V'Orech? So does he assume that you're actually dealing with Malachas Lash? That you're actually dealing with Malacha D'Oraisa?
He says Malacha. Radiyat HaPad D'Oraisa Chodim Shifim Panah Malacha.
Right, so he would say it's Malacha D'Rabbanan. It's a malacha d'rabbanan because of doma lush. In Echanami, the pashtus is that the Rabbi Nachmanah is saying it's din d'oraisa.
Yeah.
Like the pashtus. Now you might say that's what the Gemara is masupik about. The Gemara is masupik about at this stage.
Is it d'oraisa?
That's what the suffix is, right? At this stage, before it's nefa, is it d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? If it's going to be d'oraisa, then it will be aser lirdos. If it will be d'rabbanan, then it will be mutter lirdos. That's when we're reading the topic of the Gemara at this point. But in any event, the Gemara on the point is the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin base of Chachmei Malacha is not relevant to this topic of the Gemara because their leash is Bechal not relevant. Our question is at this earlier stage of Afiyah. Okay? So you could understand the second point of Rinachana one of two ways. Either by saying that Malacha is Lav Dafka and what he really means is Kimo Lash Ba'orech, that it's me'ina malacha, and then the Gemara's suffix here is whether or not this quasi malacha drabanan is mutter or it's allowed to save you from a malacha d'oraisa. Or you'll say that the suffix of Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that either this lush will be a malacha, full-fledged malacha d'oraisa, and then it'll be aser, or it'll be something lower, and then it'll be mutter. Okay?
Does what only happen is even in the question we assumed that's a full malacha d'oraisa? Or just asking, can you push off one malacha for another?
Right. Why? What would be the utility of that even?
I don't know.
What would you gain?
I was trying to think also in terms of Shevi HaPaseh, I remember, but that would be the opposite. Meaning this you're doing in Kuma Aseh, and there and Afiyah you'd be doing, or at least the
fifth. That should make this worse.
Yeah, so that's the opposite.
Right,
that should
make it worse. 100%. There's a third way of understanding the Rabbeinu Chananel. The way Rabbeinu Chananel is actually cited by the Rishonim in Rosh Hashanah. MNC Tos Rosh Hashanah and Chav Tes. So how do they call Rabbeinu Chananel there? As a Din D'Oraisa?
No, it's Darabana versus there's no Issur Kla.
Right. I mean, they seem to cite Rabbeinu Chananel as saying that on Kuf Yud Zayin base at the later stage, there wouldn't even be an Issur Darabana. At the earlier stage, then there's a Shvus Darabana. So you actually, that would be they clearly understood Rabbeinu Chananel here as not discussing a Malacha D'Oraisa. Tos is in Rosh Hashanah. We know the Pashup Shad in Rabbeinu Chananel, the Malacha, he means that it's a Malacha. I'd only point out that according to Rabbeinu Chananel, this is a side point, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, if it is a Malacha, what Malacha is it?
Lush.
Kneading. If you look at the Ritva on Kuf Yud Zayin on the base, and you didn't have to see it, but if you saw the Ritva there, so he just says that the Gzeres HaKasuv of Chachmahi v'lo Malachahi v'lo Odel, the Iker Krala Radiyas HaPas Asa, to have a Soka Daitach without the Gzeres HaKasuv, I would have thought, Shehu Bechlal Mevashel, Shehu Ke'en Mevashel, I mean, I would have thought that Radiyas HaPas is a kind of Bishul, O Shehu Gemar Malachah Kigon Makav Patish. Very fascinating Havmina. I mean, he's saying that if it were to be a daraisa, it would have either been makapatish or bishul. Now that's very fascinating. Makapatish, I understand, because it's taking the dough out of the oven, so maybe it's like a kind of tikkun kli. You're finishing something up. Bishul is much harder to understand, because taking it out of the oven is not part of the baking process. I mean, it's not part of a ma'isa bishul. It's just the final stage of taking this thing out of the oven. So it'd be a big chiddush in hilchos bishul. I mean, that even though it's not cooking anymore, the final stage of the cooking, taking the thing out of the oven, even though it's not related to bishul, because it's the end of bishul, that would also be included.
Wait,
in bishul.
Wait, did you refer, say we're talking about iser, or we're talking about dough at this point?
It's actually cooked.
Oh, so that's just a chiddush, meaning even if it didn't, it's supposed to be in for another 10 minutes, it's edible at this point. Why is that a chiddush?
Now what?
That's considered bishul.
Taking it out of the oven should be considered bishul?
You're saying it's already bishul.
That's what, meaning, what, meaning...
Hi, it's already mevushul.
Yeah, but you started...
But he actually doesn't tell you if it's fully cooked or not. He's at any stage.
That's
there's no reason to assume that he acknowledges the chiluk of Rabbeinu Chananel. He doesn't quote Rabbeinu Chananel. He assumes that Rabbeinu Chananel pass all the way through is like, whatever it is.
Fine, so I'm saying why... I just don't understand why it's a chiddush in bishul.
Bishul normally is assumed putting something in the oven, letting something cook.
Yeah.
That's bishul. Why
so
is taking something out of the oven part of
bishul?
Because
you put it on Shabbos also, right? And you let it cook. And
right.
So now you're doing the Gemara Melacha by taking it out of the oven.
That's a Gemara Melacha bishul?
What else would be the Gemara Melacha bishul?
It's already mevushul in the oven. The stage when it hits, mevushul kol tzarcho or machal ben drusai, that should be bishul.
Right,
that's
so that's what I was saying. It depends on what stage you...
But why is taking it out of the oven considered bishul?
I don't know exactly like how, I don't know anything about bishul or like whatever I'm saying, but theoretically, even if it's not the stage that it's supposed to at machal ben drusai or whatever, if you take it out, it's edible at that point. So then maybe that constitutes
taking it out of the oven.
I don't know.
You don't think it's Jennifer? You think it's a chiddush?
Because it doesn't sound like it would be
actual bishul, right? Bishul would be cooking it.
Yeah.
I think this is part of like a broader discussion in Hilchos Bishul over here, whether or not you could say that Sarche Bishul, things that are like accessories to Bishul, or part of the process, even though it has nothing to do with actual cooking, whether that could be considered Issa D'oraisa Bishul. You see, there's this famous Chumra of the Orchos Chaim. It's Maisim B'chol Yom. Are you allowed to mix a chulin pot off the fire? Some people are makbid. Orchos Chaim quotes it as a Chumra. So the Bir Halacha, so the Shaar Tzion, the Baal Mishnah Berurah says that the Isser is because of Zachshash, that you might have some parts of it that aren't fully cooked. So even though it's off the fire now, when you mix it, so the rest, those parts are going to get cooked, and it's Bishul on those areas. So the Rav said no. The Rav said that no, this is kind of like a Tzarchei Bishul. That since stirring the pot is kind of like, you know, part of the preparing the dish, that could be also part of Nichol on the Isser D'oraisa Bishul. Very big Kiddush. So that would be somewhat in line with this idea of the Ritva over here. Yeah. Who else?
Before we go, just a quick question. You said there were three ways of reading Rabbeinu Chananel, and Tosafot was the third one. How is this different from one of the other two we described?
First way of reading Rabbeinu Chananel
is that it's melacha.
Is that the Gemara on Daf Gimel knew that it's not also midaraisa? They knew the Gzeiras Kasam Kufid Zayin. They just wanted to know whether it's mutal chatchila in this case.
That's
answer number one. Answer number two is to say a chiluk between two different stages. The chiluk is between Daraisa and Drabanan. Kufi Zayin is Drabanan, Asumi Drabanan, Gimel is Asumi Daraisa. The way Tosis in Rosh Hashanah reads that is that Rabbi Nachman is Machalik between two different stages, thus between Mutter and Isser Drabanan. So
okay.
He shifts the whole distinction down one notch.
Okay, so there are two answers and two ways of understanding the second answer.
Correct.
Okay.
Who else distinguishes between two different stages of Bishul but in a very different manner than Rabbi Nachman? Chachmei Ashkenaz. He also thinks the distinction between the Dapim is the distinction between two different stages.
The Ran?
No, not the Ran.
The Ravan.
The Ravan.
No, you're talking about Muksa.
Oh. The Ravan thinks that the distinction between Daf Gimel and Daf Kufi Yadayin is a distinction between two different stages, but nothing to do with the Malacha. The Malacha of Radiyas Tapas is whatever it is on Kufi Yadayin is true for Daf Gimel and Beis. The difference is the status of the Isa with respect to Mukta. Since on Gimel and Beis you're dealing with dough that's Eino Roi L'Achila yet, therefore touching it will be an Isser Mukta. On Kufi Yedzayin, where the dough is edible, it's cooked sufficiently, so then there's no Isser Mukta anymore, because Roi L'Achila Sadam. So the Ravan has the chiluk of Rabbeinu Chananel, but Shlomi Taimo, without his rationale. Okay. Good. Now we turn to the riff. There's also, it's very unusual that you have a riff who has this kind of a discussion over here about the sphere between different sugyas.